this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. We trust that you will enjoy today's message and that it will encourage you to grow deeper in your relationship with Christ our Savior.
Amen. Okay, the service is dismissed. You guys must have an amazing... No, just kidding. It's not that short. Some people are like, yes, unfortunately not. But in all seriousness, as in preparing for the sermon, I was like, God, I need more. Like, give me more to talk about. He's like, no, that's enough. So let's get to the Word of God and just something really that I felt God so intensely down in my heart. Just for a while, actually, now. And it's great to see so many married people here this morning, especially, but this is for all of us, for those in friendships, in families, in marriages. And I really felt that God wanted to speak to us specifically this morning, just obviously about love, but something very specific. And I trust that He wants to come and bring healing and restoration and perhaps just forgiveness in some areas we need it. I've been married for 7 months now. Boom. It's been an awesome ride so far. It's great, and I'm sure that there are many sitting here way more qualified to talk about this morning than I am. But I got the mic. And I'm sure those married as well would agree that it's all not just sunshine and butterflies. It's a big part of it. But as Phil says, it's so well for me. Marriage is for your holiness and not your happiness. And in being married and just in looking at friendships and especially looking at my family, the very interesting bunch that we are, there's some dynamics that happen where it's this contention between what my desire is, what's my right, what I want, versus the other person's, right? Whether it's your wife, your husband, I'm sure even more so when your children comes around, and with family. Because perhaps this guy has more money or experience, or he's been married for 26 years, and this one for 24 years, and another guy for 26 years experience has a say. We've got many contentions, many cases in many different relationships where it's this fight between what I want, what's my right, versus yours, right? Do you agree with this? Only me? No? Yes? No? Am I confusing you? Let's look at some scripture this morning, church. So I want you to read with me. Unfortunately, we still only have this one screen. So I hope you will be able to read the back. From Philippians chapter 2, from verse 1, it says, therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind. Let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. And the King James Version just speaks of strife and vainglory. So we hear Paul writing this letter to the believers, to the church in Philippi, right? And he is writing to them about how we should see those around us. Believers or non-believers, family or not, wife, husband or not, how we should see them, how we should esteem them in comparing to ourselves. And it's as daylight that we should esteem them better than ourselves, right? And this world teaches us sort of exactly the opposite. If you just turn on the TV or sort of look at what we learn in schools or look at the corporate world or just look at music and conversations going on. Everything is about you, your success, how you should do whatever it takes to attain that thing which is there, whether you need to walk over someone or use people, whatever it is that we need to do. The world teaches us selfishness in a sense. It doesn't call it that, but in essence, that's exactly what it's about. How to just be a better you, how to just do whatever you need to do to get that whichever is in your heart, right? To follow your heart, to get that thing. That's what the world sort of says. But when I look at Scripture, when I listen to Paul, More importantly, when I listen to Jesus, it's the opposite. It's never this thing about selfishness or wanting what you had. Because if, let's be honest, if you know the Bible, if you know Jesus, if he got his way, in a sense, the cross would not happen, right? You remember the Garden of Gethsemane? So what effect does selfishness have? Obviously, if Jesus were to be selfish, we would never be here, we would never be reconciled with our Father in heaven, we would never be redeemed, we would never be forgiven of our sins. But what effect does that have on our relationships, whether in marriage, whether in friendships, whether in families? What effect does it have? Do we call it selfishness? Do we sort of just go through the motions? And this is something that God just laid on my heart to speak about. And especially this morning, it was sort of weird. I think Melody must sometimes be so confused about why she had to marry me. Because I think I go through a lot of mood swings and stuff, especially before I need to preach. But then it's sort of God lets me feel in a very interesting way what the atmosphere is. And it's really great for me and for you guys, but I don't think she always understands. So it's okay if I speak out of the marriage, yeah? Yes? So when she just got out of the car this morning as well, she's like, yes, no, it's quite nice. So, and just as we started, I woke up in a really good mood. You can ask my wife as well. I jumped on her, woke her up, all that stuff. But as soon as we got in the car on the way to church, yes, this real irritability came over me. And this whole time I was just driving, I didn't say a word in the car. Gosh, yes, he was driving, getting here, whatever. And as I was walking around, I was just talking to God, like, yes, Lord, what's going on? Why do I feel this way? How do I shake it off? And just in prayer, God just showed me that's sort of the atmosphere and the mood in many marriages. Relationships going on in this house. There's lots of irritability, there's lots of irritation, there's a lot of sort of let's not talk about it and just move on type of thing. And it's a board of whatever it may be. But God just gave me a glimpse of that feeling this morning. And just, yeah, my heart, my marriage is not perfect. I get irritated a lot. But I just really felt something different this morning. And I know that is exactly what God wants to come and break and bring restoration of his peace and love this morning. Amen? So let's trust God this morning to do exactly that. So I want to encourage you, just be open and listen. If you're not sitting next to your wife just yet, position you there. Because we're going to end up praying or forgiving one another, whatever God leads us to do. So are we ready for that? Great stuff. Hallelujah. This verse that we just read in Philippians has to do with being lowly in mind. So what does it mean? What Paul actually did here, and look at all the Greek words and all of that stuff. I really don't want to go into detail about it this morning because I know that you know all of that. But what he actually did is he combined a verb and a noun together to form that word humble-mindedness. And in essence, that is what that portion of Scripture speaks about, that we as believers need to be humble-minded. And that means esteeming others better than yourself. And where do we get this example? We get it from the apostles itself, but let's look at the most perfect example from Jesus. I mean, Jesus, he is God in the form of a man. In every situation, he could have commanded whatever he wanted because he was God. He could have commanded to be treated in a specific way because of God's order, and that's his right, that what needs to come to him. You are a woman, you need to submit to me, whatever I say. In marriage, wife needs to submit to the husbands as unto Christ. We have these orders, this divine order from God, which is great, which is biblical. But do we do that with a contention and with an irritability and really just missing whatever needs to be at the core, which is love? So Jesus, being Christ, came and became bondservant to all men. And he didn't become a servant to the church. The church really didn't exist. He became bondservant to Pharisees, to non-believers. He did not only esteem the others better than himself, but he positioned him physically, in a sense, to their mercy. of what to do so that he would be in that place to do what? To display a love unconditional. To display a love that would have us sit here today being redeemed and forgiven. And I believe Paul wants us as believers to discern that this virtue of humility must soak into and permeate our entire thinking and doing of how we see those around us. And when we do that, it would simply shape our lives as Christians. Romans 12:10 says, "Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love in honor, giving preference to one another." Not what I want, what do you want? Let's not talk about who's right and who's wrong. What do you want? Who was right and who was wrong when Jesus was hanging on the cross? But what was his prayer? And that really just blew my mind again this morning, that love of Christ. We can get so caught up in our marriages, in relationships, and stuff, but listen, this is what I said. And perhaps if it's a guy to a woman, to his wife, listen, you just need to submit now because that's what I said. So in a sense, he might be right, to be honest, but does it come with a love? Does that come with the love of Christ? Because when Christ was hanging on the cross, who was at fault? Those crucifying him. But who was forgiven? Those crucifying him. And I believe this morning, a very simple, but I believe powerful principle and doctrine and foundation that God wants to come restore to us in our relationships is that of Christ, his love and his forgiveness. When your wife never deserves that forgiveness or that other chance, or just to actually be left to do what she wants to do, is it out of love? Or do we all always keep our own and hoard our own? How do you submit to your husband? Husbands, how do you love your wives? Is it always pushing your agenda or just saying, "Lord, I want to follow your example of unconditional love"? It's easy to become competitive and with rivalry do all these things, competing with one another, right? The Bible says do nothing out of rivalry. So this sort of competitive spirit, which I used to call it that, it's not really of God as much, because God says serve one another, let the other guy win. And trust me, believe me, this is not just be a walkover and a pushover and be nothing, but it's a place of the heart, and it's a place of being humble mindedness. Do we need to win every time because it's actually just for our pride? Do we need to be right every time because I'm the man, I need to be right? Or out of what place is this? Because we should be so far separated from whether we are going to get the right or wrong, the credit or not. And we should just be, "God, let me be a vessel for your love, for your forgiveness. Jesus, like you on the Garden of Gethsemane, I do not want to do this now for my wife or forgive her or allow her. But Lord, not my will, but yours." And God's will is always to love unconditionally. I'm not saying allowance of sin at all. But these petty things we fight about and get irritated about and hold on to, and that sort of becomes our lifestyle in our relationships. It's really, in essence, just because of pride and selfishness. Do you guys agree with me this morning? You guys have that in your marriages specifically? This morning, God wants to just set us free of that. It's not something we need to do. We just need to say, "Lord, forgive me. Melody, I forgive you." She says, "Chris, I forgive you." We forgive one another. It's great. And we get this focus away from, listen, I'm the right one, you should follow me, and all these debates. We just say, let's love one another like Christ loved us, unconditionally. In worship this morning as well, I believe that there are some of us in this place where we are only at this place where we The only place where we experience love and acceptance is with Christ. And yes, that should be our primary place of identity and of love and security that we find. But you know what? God has called us to love one another. Husbands, to love your wives. In friendships, to love one another. Community, to love one another. Why? Because how would people see that we are followers of Christ? by the way that we love one another. And this morning, God wants to come and restore marriages where perhaps if the only place where you find that peace is with Christ, God wants to come and change that because you need to feel loved and accepted and welcome in your house, in your friends, in your families as well. And that's why I love just starting praying for those that do not understand or know Christ yet, because how broken, how desperate, how empty must their lives be if they've never even experienced the love of Christ, let alone the love of Christ from their brothers and sisters around them. So God wants to come and restore this morning. Philippians chapter 2 verse 8 says, "Let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross." I'm going to read this portion of Scripture again, and before I do, I'm going to give us 5 seconds. Just quickly think about yourself and where you are, whether in marriage or relationship or community. Think of yourself just right now. Just say, "This is who I am. This is how I do things. This is what I hold on to." And let's read this portion of Scripture again. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, and even the death of the cross." Morning church, we need to just again humble ourselves in whatever situation, season you find yourself in, to humble yourself for the sake of the person that you live with or know, your friends, to really just say, "Listen, whatever is going on with me, let's put that to the side. Let's focus on you." We can never say, I need to be sorted out first in order for me to do this, because then it will always just be this place of never being ready. Through the cross, we have all been redeemed and set free. And that's our calling, to just give that freely to our spouses, to our friends, to our family. I believe sometimes there's a reason why family members have not yet come to salvation, because they look at the way we live. They look at our marriages and say, "You're a Christian, but you're going through the exact same stuff what I'm going through, so why do I need to go to church on top of this?" I believe this morning God really wants to just bring a focus back to loving one another like he loves us. Because if people look at us, they shouldn't see us, they should see Christ. There's a place for preaching, there's a place for testifying, but you know what? There's a place of people just witnessing our lives, saying, "I want that." Like, "Yes, how did you guys go through this and still love one another like this? There was adultery in this relationship, but yes, you didn't get a divorce, there's reconciliation, you still love one another. There's forgiveness. How are you able to forgive him? Because he did that. How are we able to forgive her? Because she's not submitting." Whatever stuff it is going on in this world, what witness are we giving to the world out there? Because as good as it is to pray for our families to come to salvation, sometimes we should just say, "Lord, let us reflect your love." Because let's be honest, when you experience God's love, you cannot deny it. Right? Have you ever met someone that stood in the presence of God's love with him lavishing all that he is on them and they said, not interested, no thanks. I've yet to meet that person. God's love draws us. And our lives need to be a witness to that. When we live Christ-like lifestyles, we will always stand out in this world as the light stands out in the darkness. So there's a place of people looking at us, watching us. It's a place of being vulnerable. But that's exactly where we need to be. If you're in this place and you don't feel like anyone is watching your marriage, you are not shining. Because this world is so dark, this world is so hungry to see a love that is actually unconditional, that is relentless and never gives up. And we have that. We just need to display it. In friendships, if you guys walk around on campus loving one another as Christ loved his disciples and back, there's no way that it will not have an effect on campus, because people will see you walking and will be a witness. In our workplaces, if your boss really is not a nice guy, but if you just respond in a Christ-like manner to him, that would just destroy whoever he is and make him to ask questions. Are we lights? Darkness. As Paul said, he's learned to be abased and to abound with God. That just meaning that with God, with Christ, we have received everything. We have received salvation in full through the cross. Meaning that we are children of God. So we are inheritance with him. We lack nothing. But did God give us that power to lord it over everyone else, to condemn everyone else? Or to even having this power to become servants of those around us, like Christ? The base just meaning to humiliate, to make yourself nothing for the sake of the other person, to humble yourself. How do we speak to one another? And just yesterday again, I was reminded, just personally in my family, God is really doing, he's busy doing really, really amazing work. And God just came and reminded me again of the power of words we speak. How do we, what have we said to one another, perhaps to our parents, perhaps to other family members, perhaps to our spouses, what have we said to one another? Because we might just say, okay, no, it's fine, let's move on. But those things stick, and I see it now in my family's life that things spoken just many, many years ago has so much power still today. So we need to be careful just the way in that we treat one another. Would our marriage just be different if Jesus in physical form had to sit in our lounge? If the answer is yes, then no, we need to change something. Are we doing Jesus' cross justice by the way that we reflect our marriages and our relationships? Romans 15 verse 2 says, let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification. For even Christ did not please himself. As it's written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. This morning, church, guys, girls, let's live not only for Christ, but let's live for one another. Whatever your desires is, whatever your rights are, whether you are right or wrong, let's just place that aside this morning and say, wife, husband, friend, mate, whatever it is we call another, say, listen, I want to esteem you better than myself. And it's not an overnight process. I believe it can be. But let's this morning bring a forgiveness back into our relationships. And with Christ being the center, see everyone else as better than you. Because really, when we get that right, then rivalry, competitiveness immediately falls away. Pushing your agenda, wanting to be right, it falls away. Because not just about you, it's for your neighbor and for his good. But it's to love our wives, not for our good, but for her good. And vice versa. It's not for our gain, but to be that proven light in the world, not that of lording, but that of serving. And I know that whether you've been married for 30 years or for 3 days, there's something in this that God has for every single one of us. And I want to end off with the scripture, and then I want us just get praying wherever we sit, especially just spouses together or friends together. If you're not with your friends, go sit with your friends. Let's really pray for one another in this. But the last scripture, Philippians 2 from verse 14, do all things without complaining and disputing. All things. That you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Let that be our prayers this morning. Do not even focus on our marriage or our relationship. Say, Lord, help us to have our marriage be a light for the world out there. Let's stop fighting amongst one another, but let's, as a unit, be used. Lord, use our friendships this morning to be a light on campus. Father, use me in my workplace, irrelevant to how I'm treated, irrelevant to what's coming to me or what needs to come to me, as a light to the perverse and crooked generation out there. Because I know that you know it's dark, it's broken out there. And in some cases, it's also dark and broken in our circles and families. So let's bring that before God this morning. Let's pray together. Let's say, Lord, restore to us a light so that we will be a witness to the cross and the love of Jesus Christ. So I wanted to spend some time. I'm just going to pray for us, and then you can pray in your groups. Then afterwards, the band will come up, and if you want to, the band can actually come up now and just minister as we are praying. And then after that, if you finish praying, you're more than welcome to continue worshiping or just join us for some coffee at the back. Let's pray. Father, thank you that your love and the cross, Lord, was an everlasting deed, an everlasting display for us. And it's so sufficient for us to live a life of glory, to be a witness for those around us. Father, thank you for the community which you've placed us in. Thank you, Lord, for those irritating neighbors you've given us, Father God, because you have called us be a witness to them about who you are. So Father, I pray that as we just engage in prayer this morning, that you would align us and give us a focus again to esteem each other better than ourselves. More than looking to just small issues, Father God, that our lives, our friendships, our marriages, our families will be used for your name's sake and for your glory. Lord, restore to us a light, restore to us a confidence in the way that we do things, Father God. Come and I just pray healing, Father God, over shame, healing over broken hearts, Father God, and healing where it's been so dry for so many years in some cases. Lord, come and just come like a flood of your love and your restoration this morning in hearts and in relationships. That people will look at us, that they would know that we are your disciples. We don't need to say anything or do anything, but they would simply look at us and how we live. Father, that's what we want. Let our lifestyles be a witness to the cross of Jesus Christ.
You move mountains when you speak. You give power to the weak. You raise dead men to their feet. You are strong, Lord.
Thank you for listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church. We believe that it was time well spent establishing God's kingdom and proclaiming His glory in your life. For more information, call us on 012-362-1363 or email us at pretoria@shofaronline.org. You may also wish to browse our website at www.shofaronline.org or find us on facebook.com/shofarpretoria.